Leaders of Learning. How District, School and Classroom Leaders Improve Students' Achievement. Authors: Richard Dufour, Robert J. Marzano. The Heroic Leader Myth. People are prone to think of leadership as an individual activity linked to a position usually at the top of the organizational chart. Furthermore, they often think the ability to lead is reserved for a heroic few. Those individuals who save us from ourselves by making up for our deficiencies. It's time to let go of the myth of the charismatic individual leader who has it all figured out. Effective leaders recognize that they cannot accomplish great things alone. They acknowledge that leadership capacity is broadly distributed in the population and is accessible to anyone who has passion and purpose to change things as they are. There is no single person who has all the knowledge, skills, and talent to lead a district, improve a school, or meet all the needs of every child in his or her classroom. It takes a collaborative effort and a widely dispersed leadership to meet the challenges confronting our schools. School improvement means people improvement. A study of the world's best performing school systems concluded, the quality of an education system cannot exceed the quality of its teachers. Effective teachers have high expectations for students' achievement. They believe that the ability of students to learn is changeable rather than fixed, and they are able to foster the effort that leads to achievement. Professional learning community process. The best strategy for improving schools is developing the collective capacity of educators to function as members of a professional learning community, PLC. It is a concept based on the premise that if students are to learn at higher levels, processes must be in place to ensure the ongoing, job-embedded learning of the adults who serve them. Creating the conditions that foster high-performing PLCs can be done within existing resources if schools are willing to change some of their traditional practices. The PLC process rests on three big ideas, and each of those ideas has significant implications for educators. Effective district leaders. In the past, most school researchers focused on climate, culture, and practices of individual schools and ignored the school district. In time, however, the researchers found that schools couldn't remain effective without the support of the central office. District leadership has been found to have a measurable effect on students' achievement and improving school systems. This influence now is more explicit on many bases. 1. Effective district leaders, both direct and empower. The site-based school improvement model was based on the premise that if educators were given unfettered autonomy in their schools, innovation and creativity would flourish. This premise proved faulty. Educators in schools with site-based autonomy were no more likely to engage in matters essential to teaching and learning than their more rigidly supervised counterparts. Even if an individual school was able to demonstrate improvement, its practices never influenced the rest of the system because there was no process for sharing knowledge across schools. Effective school district leaders have resolved this dilemma by embracing the concept of defined autonomy. In these districts, superintendents work with the Board of Education, other central office administrators, and principals to articulate clear, non-discretionary student achievement goals for the district as a whole, for each school, and for subgroups of students. 2. Effective district leaders understand the need for specificity. Districts usually rely on generalities, rather than clarifying the actionable steps they expect schools to take, and the evidence they must present to demonstrate that the steps have been taken. A gap exists between the strategic vision and the specifics of bringing the vision to life. Effective district leaders address that lack of clarity by delineating some very specific practices and processes that are to be established in every school. 3. Effective district leaders monitor the PLC process. Creating a PLC depends to a large extent on the leadership capabilities of the principal. If superintendents are to succeed in implementing the PLC process, they must build the individual and collective capacity of principals to lead the process. Teacher isolation. The The traditional structure of schools has made it almost impossible for principals to directly influence teachers, because those structures have fostered isolated teachers in standalone classrooms. Even teachers who use the same materials rarely interact with each other, except during lunch hour. Principals have either struggled to contrive ways to interact with teachers in the hopes of influencing their behavior, or have resigned themselves to managing rather than leading their schools. The PLC process, and the collaborative team structure in particular, are specifically designed to alter this dynamic by changing the traditional practices of schooling. The principal of a large school can influence 20 team leaders directly rather than 150 teachers indirectly. In short, the PLC process provides a vehicle for focused interactions between principals and teachers which allow principals to execute a number of responsibilities. 1. Providing affirmation and celebration of staff effort and achievement. 2. Challenging the status quo as a change agent. 3. Establishing processes to ensure effective communication throughout the school. 4. Shaping the assumptions, beliefs, expectations, and habits that constitute the school's culture. 5. Demonstrating flexibility in meeting the different needs of teams. 6. Focusing on clear goals and pursuing the school's purpose and priorities. 7. Soliciting input from staff in the design and implementation of procedures and policies. 8. Establishing a positive working relationship with each member of staff. 9. Being visible throughout the school and having a positive interaction with staff and students. Building collective capacity. Creating the conditions to help others succeed is one of the highest duties of a leader. There are 6 areas: district, school, and team leaders must address to help those they serve succeed as members of high-performing collaborative teams. 1. Organize staff into meaningful teams. 2. Provide teams with time to collaborate. 3. Provide supportive structures that help groups become teams. Developing a guaranteed and viable curriculum. The fact that a district creates a curriculum guide and distributes it to teachers does little to guarantee students have access to the same knowledge and skills. Teachers can and do interpret documents differently, assign different levels of priority to recommended content, or simply ignore the documents. In short, it's not unusual to see a huge gap between the intended curriculum and the implemented curriculum taught when teachers close their classroom doors. In a PLC, educators are committed to helping students acquire the same essential knowledge and skills regardless of the teacher to whom they're assigned. The only way the curriculum in a school can be truly guaranteed is if the teachers themselves, those who are called upon to deliver the curriculum, have worked collaboratively to do the following. Study the intended curriculum. Agree on priorities within the curriculum. Clarify how the curriculum translates into student knowledge and skills. Establish general pacing guidelines for delivering the curriculum. Commit to one another that they will teach the agreed-upon curriculum. A guaranteed and viable curriculum is a basic tenet of the PLC process. It's highly compatible with the first big idea of the PLC process, ensuring that all students learn at a high level, and a third idea, knowing if students are learning and responding appropriately to their needs. Ongoing monitoring of student learning. Instead of viewing assessments as an absolute measure of students' proficiency, individual assessments must be considered snapshots taken at a point in time of students' progress towards a specific goal. To monitor student progress, teachers must assess and record assessments in ways that are different from current convention. Teachers usually design classroom assessments that cover multiple topics. Designing multidimensional assessments that report single scores only for all dimensions negates any possibility of tracking student progress. Additionally, students focus their attention on passing specific assessments as opposed to progressing in their knowledge of the content. To understand the proficiency scale, first consider the score 3.0. It involves the target objective identified by a collaborative team. Using the progression example, score 3.0 would contain the objective: students will be able to describe and exemplify what different plants and animals need to survive. Score 2.0 involves a similar content. the content regarding terminology and specific facts about plants and animals. The score 4.0 contains a more complex content regarding the comparison and the contrast of plants and animals. The remaining scores in a scale all reference these three levels of knowledge, and none of them contain new content. Leadership is an affair of the heart. The best educational leaders are in love with the work they do, with the purpose they serve, and with the people they lead. They are more prone to think of what they do as a calling or a cause rather than a job. It's the passion that helps them persevere when confronting the inevitable difficulties of attempting to bring about substantive change. The superintendent who looks upon building level leaders with contempt, the principal who demeans the motivation and abilities of the staff, or the teacher who demonstrates disdain for students will be unable to lead effectively. Ultimately, leadership is about love. To become the best leader you can be a servant leader. Fall in love with leading. With the purpose you serve, and the people with whom you work in fulfilling that purpose.